And now it's time for the scripture reading. If you would like to open your Bibles, the Bibles in the pews, or your own Bible, to Luke 6, 27 to 28. It's page 1601 in the Pew Bibles. These are the red letter words of Jesus. So listen to the words of Jesus. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind and merciful to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Thank you, man.
So, the title of this sermon, wow, I'm really loud. This is kind of cool. I've got lots of stuff. All right. The title of this is The Other Sermon. And I say it's The Other Sermon because we're all really familiar, well, if you've been in Christian churches for any amount of time, with the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew. This is the Sermon on the Plain, which is found in Luke. Now, there's scholarly debate all over the place on whether or not this is the same sermon from a different perspective, or if it's different sermons. And I'd like to make the argument that it's probably different sermons. If you see this picture here, this is a compilation of movie stills of Jesus preaching to different groups at different times in different places during his ministry. Now, here's my argument. If you've been listening to me preach for the last 6 months, you probably know that there's three or four things that I'm very often going to return to. Humility. Be humble. Love each other. Don't be afraid. Trust God. That's sort of my core message. And Jesus had this same sort of core message. And I'm going to tell you, I think it's sort of like a stump speech. If you ever follow politics, a politician never says the same speech in Iowa that he would say in California. She wouldn't say the same speech in Texas that she would say in New Hampshire, right? The core message may be the same, but there's going to be variations on the theme. And what we're going to explore today is, did Jesus adjust his message based on his listeners? And if we read these two accounts of the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain side by side, you'll see that the people that were in attendance are different people. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount versus the Sermon on the Plain, on the Sermon on the Mount, the people that were listening to him were mostly from the area of Galilee and the Decapolis, which is a grouping of 10 mostly Roman towns, most of them across the Jordan. And in the Sermon on the Plain, he's talking to Jerusalem, Judea, and coastal cities. So in the first one, the Galileans are farmers. They're fishermen. They're poor. In the second one, he's talking to folks from Judea and Jerusalem, coastal cities, probably mostly merchants, and people of the priestly class, people that aren't quite as poor as the people he's talking to on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is why there are some substantial differences. For example, before we got to the part that Anne read for us, in Matthew 5, there's 9 Beatitudes, and then he goes to something called the salt of the earth. In Luke 6, he's got Beatitudes, but only 4 of them, and then he goes straight into woe to the rich. Woe to the people that are well fed. Woe to the people that are laughing. He gets into this absolute change of dynamic. And I was reminded yesterday, if anybody was at Anne's service, we were reminded how active she was within social justice. And it just, when I was reading this again last night, it just resonated with me that what Jesus was doing here when he's talking to this merchant class, to this class of priests and people that are not the salt of the earth, which is what he talks about in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's changing the story a little bit. But after he gives them the woes, after he says, woe unto you that are rich, woe unto you that are well fed, woe unto you that are laughing, woe unto you that have people speak good of you, Jesus gives them the out. Jesus says, but, and there's that little connecting word that can carry so much weight in our language, but, he says, this is where we pick up our passage, to you who are willing to listen, I say. Now, I really love the Message's translation of this particular line. He says, to you who are ready for the truth. That just seems to carry some real weight. If Jesus is saying, to you who are ready for the truth, it implies a couple things. One, he's going to speak truth. And two, he already knows that within his audience there are people who aren't ready to hear the truth. And that may be somebody sitting out here today or up here in the choir loft. Perhaps some of us are reticent to hear the truth of Jesus' words here. Why? We aren't first century people living in Jerusalem. We're 21st century people living in the United States. And in the United States, like I've said before, we're a consumer society. There's this need for us to say, I want to keep up with, name the family name, the Joneses, the Smiths, the Robinsons, whoever we're going to keep up with. We have this kind of cultural bias built into us from television ads, from commercial radio ads, from everything you get on your phone and your email, what in your mailings at home. You need this to be happy. You need this Buick to be happy. I would be happy with a Buick. However, that's not the point. This consumer-driven society wants us to be happy with things rather than with people. It wants us to be happy with stuff rather than relationships. And this is why sometimes people are not willing or able to hear the truth, because we've got these filters that we're looking at Scripture through. And we've got these biases that we want to view Jesus' words with that may or may not be a clear lens with which to view his words. This is where Jesus gets tough. He says, if you want to hear the truth, I say love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Come on, Jesus, that's hard. It's hard enough for me to love people that are my own family, let alone people that I don't like. Come on, what are you trying to tell me? But this is the truth. Jesus is laying down truth on us. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other cheek. Some of you may think, well, that's just being weak. But I'm here to tell you that in Jesus' day, a slap on the cheek was an offense that could be taken to court. You could take anybody to court for hitting you on the cheek. So when you say to the other person, here's the other one, it's actually a very strong signal of strength. Because you're telling that person that's in front of you that just tried to embarrass you and tried to humiliate you that what you've done to me doesn't affect me. Because my identity isn't in me. My identity is in Jesus Christ. My identity is in God. So when you slap me on the cheek, you can't do anything to me, pal. I trust God. God's going to make it right. He goes on to say, if someone takes your coat, okay, you guys, I saw you outside today. You got your coats on because it's kind of chilly. He's saying, if they take your coat, give them your shirt too. Wait a second. Jesus, this is hard. Why do I need to give somebody my shirt too? Because the truth is, nothing that we have really belongs to us. It all belongs to God who provided it for us. And we need to be willing to part with things that are material so that we can love people that aren't. Give to everyone who asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. If somebody takes something from you, they just stole from you. And we're not supposed to ask for it back. Why? Because it didn't belong to you in the first place. It belongs to God. He provided everything to you. And He'll provide it to you again. Case in point, Job. When you lose things, when you give things up willingly, when you treat others with generosity, God will provide for you. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And this is where I really like the Message translation. So I'm going to read this to you. It says, here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, and then take the initiative and go do it to them. So it's not just a passive thing. It's taking action. So if you want somebody to smile at you, smile at them first. If you want somebody to treat you well, treat them well first. Take the initiative. Don't wait for them to do unto you. Do the good thing unto them. And this isn't the reading that says, you know, do unto others before they can do unto you because, you know, you don't want that. That's not what I mean. I mean, do good things to people, right? Jesus goes on to talk a lot about if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? If you treat others well, what credit is that to you? Don't even sinners do this to people that they love, right? If you loan money to somebody and you expect it all back with interest, what good is that? Because even sinners do that. And in fact, he goes one step further, and this is where he's getting into the socioeconomic position of the people he's talking to. If you look at Matthew, he doesn't talk about loaning money because the people he's talking to probably don't have money to loan. And this is where he's adjusting the message to the people that have this money. He's saying, don't loan to people and expect the money back because even sinners do that. And besides, the truth is that money wasn't yours to begin with. You guys sensing the theme here? What doesn't belong to God? If anybody has an answer, I'm willing to listen. Everything we've got, everything we've ever had, everything we're ever going to have, comes from God, our Father in heaven. So this is why Jesus is telling people the truth. The truth isn't that, you know, you have to be submissive to the world. The truth is you need to stand up and do what's right to the people in the world, because none of the stuff that we have belongs to us in the first place. It all belongs to God. You say, what's that got to do with love? Well, I'm telling you that I know that there are people in your lives, because there's people in my lives, and I don't think we're that different, that I have a real difficult time loving. And if it weren't for the influence of Jesus Christ in my life, if it weren't for the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me, I probably would have a real difficult time even praying for my enemies. And yet, Jesus says the truth is, we have to pray for people that persecute us. I love this line in Luke because it's so much easier than the one in Matthew. In Matthew, he says, therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I know something about myself. I can't be perfect. In Luke, he gives us a little bit of latitude when he's talking to these people. He says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. When we think about the audience that he's speaking to, these are probably people who lord over other folks. They probably have a lot of people working for them. They may have interactions with people that are outside of their own family that's fishing with them or farming with them. So he's telling them, be merciful. Because to this group of people that has influence over others, they need to show mercy. And don't we also need to show mercy to people around us as God does? And then he goes on, this is one of my favorite parts. He goes on to talk about judging. Has anybody in this place never heard the words, judge not, lest ye be judged? Who hasn't heard that? Every non-Christian in the world will throw that up in our face as Christians to say, don't judge me because you're not allowed to judge. I love the way that the Message talks about this too. It says, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures or criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want them to pick on you too. Don't condemn those who are down and out, because that could boomerang on you. Be easy on people. You'll find life easier if you're easier on people. So if you don't spend a lot of energy criticizing others, you can spend other energy loving them instead. I love this illustration. You all heard later here, he talks about the speck in the eye and the log in the eye. You've heard that, right? Don't point out the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your eye. But let's say you have been a Christian for a very long time. You're a very mature Christian. You have worked your way through the fruits of the Spirit. You've got love, joy, kindness, gentleness, generosity. You've worked your way up to self-control. You are a mature Christian. You still have a speck in your eye. Because we can't be perfect. Now, I want you all to do an exercise with me. Put your thumb out like this. Go ahead and do it. If everybody's doing it, no one will look silly. All right. Now, with it out here, I can still see the choir. Even if I close one eye, I can still see the choir. I can still see Jan. I can still see Jonathan. I can still see Susan. I can see people. But now, let's say your thumb, bring it towards your eye. Get it right in front of your eye. And let's say that's the speck in your eye. Now what can you see? A lot less. You're a lot less clear on what you're able to see because that speck is so close to you. Oftentimes we don't see our own sins because they're so close to us. Or we don't want to see them, we don't want to recognize them as being sin, because they're close to us. So this was I love this little thing with Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny. You know, love your enemies. These two are always fighting, right? So we're told love our enemies. Now the takeaways I want you guys to have from the message today are this. Jesus did tailor his message to his audience. There wasn't this, you know, rubber stamp thing he did. Because he was a better preacher than that. But he had certain things that he wanted to convey to everybody. So he had the stump speech, the stuff in between, the core, the important stuff. His core message didn't change. His core message, love your enemies. Prayer, pray for the people that persecute you. The golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated. I don't care if they are the worst person you've ever met in your life. It's not your place to judge whether somebody is going to go to hell or go to heaven. We don't have that power. You don't know. They could be the most despicable person on the earth, and you could point to them and go, I know where they're going, and you don't. Because the second that you apply your judgment to somebody else, you've just limited the grace of God. And how dare us do that? God's grace is so much bigger than we can possibly imagine. And if you were here a couple weeks ago, I talked about Jesus changing that trajectory from a punishment, retribution type theology. When he was on the shore with Peter, and Peter says, get away from me, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And Jesus just said, do not fear. Because he's not going to hold those sins against him. That was the point. He changed the trajectory to grace and love. And that's what this does. This message is one of grace and one of love. This message is one of forgiveness and love. This message is one of, I don't know what to call it, just unbelievably amazing, unconditional love for each other. That's what Jesus' core was. So if you take those things away from this message today, love, pray, don't judge, you'll be a lot further down the path of the fruits of the Spirit than you were yesterday. Amen?